The Divine Souls. The last few speeches I've been explaining to you that although the Jnani reaches God, just as the Bhakt reaches God, because both have surrendered to God and received His grace, however, since it was the Jnani's desire only to receive liberation and to merge into formless God, his experience is actually different than that of the Bhakt. The Bhakt had a desire to actually experience the personal form of God, which is done through all five senses and through every pore of one's body. So the experience of the Bhakt is actually considered to be higher, even though both are unlimited. Both receive unlimited bliss, yet the Bhakt receives a higher experience. In order to prove this point to you, I've been giving you some examples. I gave you some examples from Satyug and Treta-yug, where those who are already experiencing the bliss of Nirakar Brahm, called Brahmanand, when they received the experience of Premanand, the bliss of the personal form of God, their mind was forcefully attracted to that bliss of Sakar Brahm, and without even having to take a decision in the matter, the mind just automatically forgot about the bliss of Nirakar Brahm. So it proves that Premanand has something special, extra, which is not found in Brahmanand. Even though Brahm, formless God, is Sri Krishna, none other than, yet the experience of Sri Krishna in his personal form is something very special, as compared to the experience that one gets of his impersonal aspect. You can think of it like, just to understand what kind of ras even in this world we receive through that interaction of sakar individuals. So let's say there's a newlywed couple and they're sitting amongst the family, amongst the elders. They've just been married. So you know, those of you who have been married, you remember the excitement at the beginning of marriage. Don't forget about 10, 20 years down the line. You remember that first day, right? How excited you were. Now the newlywed husband and wife, they're sitting across from each other. And the elders are all sitting there. So in that situation, it's inappropriate for them to look directly at each other, the husband at the wife or the wife at the husband. They have to behave modestly because they're amongst the elders. Their parents, their grandparents, aunts, uncles, that kind of thing. So what do? They're sitting there and they're behaving properly, but they're stealing looks at each other. When they think no one else is looking, the bride steals a look at her husband from beneath her veil, and the husband steals a look at his wife. So that ras that the husband and wife are receiving, sitting there in that situation, that can't be described. It has to be experienced. So that's an example of some ras that you get through this interaction you get in with one form and another form. So it's something like that with God. When Sita, Ram and Lakshman were wandering in the jungle, at one point they stopped and they met some people, like a tribe of people. Ram and Lakshman were over talking with the men, and Sita was sitting and informally chatting with the ladies. So they were asking her, you know, oh, are you married? She says, yes. Who is your husband? So how, she can't take Ram's name. Oh, Ram is my husband. Or she can't point at him, he's my husband. So she's indicating with her eyes, just like that. Very subtly. So those ladies are getting so much ras out of that, seeing how Sita very bashfully, very modestly is indicating that one over there, the handsome young one sitting chatting with the men. She indicated all of that just with her eyes. So how are you going to get that kind of ras from formless God? It's impossible. Now in Dwapar Yuga, the greatest jnani was Uddhav. Uddhavji was in fact a personal friend of Sri Krishna in Mathura and one of his personal advisors. But he was a jnani who knew nothing of the ras of Sakar Brahm. Imagine, his personal friend is Sri Krishna and he thinks of God as formless and Sakar Brahm is sitting right in front of him. But if you're not graced, you see, it's an example of how God does not grace a soul directly. He graces through the Guru. So Sri Krishna is thinking that what are people going to say? My own friend is going towards Nirakar Brahm. He's going to remain bereft of the experience of Premanand. People will say, Sri Krishna, you were unable to even grace your own friend with this Premanand. So he couldn't let that happen. He said to himself, I have to send him to the gopis. Only with the grace of the gopis, if he surrenders to them, then he can experience something higher, this bliss of my personal form. But he couldn't send him there directly because Uddhava, he knew all the Vedas, Shastras, Upanishads. He was a real jnani. And who were the gopis in the eyes of the world? Village ladies who had not gone to school. They didn't even know their kakha gagha. They didn't know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They didn't know any of that. How to sign their name, how to count, how to spell. Nothing. Totally uneducated. So if Sri Krishna said to Uddhav, you're a jnani, but you're missing something. I want you to go to Braj and learn from those gopis, Uddhav would have thought, what are you joking? You know how it is if you try to tell one of your own family members or a close friend about satsang. Oh, why don't you come? They're much less likely to listen than if someone else tells them. You're too close to them. They'll just, aapka mazaak udaayenge. Ha ha ha. Bade batane wale aage. So Sri Krishna, knowing that Uddhava is his personal friend, he knew it wouldn't work just to tell him, go and surrender to the gopis. So he said, Uddhava, you know the gopis in Braj? They miss me a lot. They're very attached to me and I can't go there. I'm very busy. I have so many duties here in Mathura. So you go and give them some comfort by teaching them about your Gyan Marg. Teach them that, hey, you are Brahm. Why are you missing someone else? Never mind that. You are Brahm. Just meditate on Aham Brahmasmi. So you teach them all of that. And then they'll be free from this missing of me. So Uddhav, of course, accepted. He went to Braj and he met the gopis and he started to talk to them. Unbeknownst to him, who were these gopis? There were several classes of gopis. One class are eternal gopis from the divine abode, Sri Krishna's Golok abode, who descended. Now, Golok and Vrindavan in the divine world, that's the highest abode. The saints there who get to reside there are in fact the highest saints, highest class of saints. So that's the gopis. Some of the gopis were eternal gopis from divine Golok who had come here on the earth planet along with Sri Krishna to enact all of these leelas, to reveal to the world the greatness of Premanand and Gopi Bhav. Some of the gopis were saints, but they had not received that particular bliss that Sri Krishna grants in Maharas, which is actually the highest form of ras, the highest form of divine bliss. There were some saints who had met Bhagwan Ram during his dissension period. There were the sages of Dandak Forest, Sharbhanga Ashram. They were saints. They got the divine vision of Ram, but they hadn't experienced Maharas. So they also got grace to come as gopis. And then they got this experience of Maharas. There were some who were richas of the Vedas. Each mantra of the Vedas is an individual divine power with a personal form called a richa. So those richas also wished to experience Maharas, so they also came as gopis. So think who Uddhav is talking to. The lowest class of gopis were those richas of the Vedas, the lowest class. They were the servants of those other gopis. Uddhav became a jnani by reading those richas of the Vedas, by studying them, by meditating on them. And those same richas have come as gopis, and now Uddhav has come to teach them. Unbeknownst to him, he doesn't know who he's going to teach. So anyway, he started to tell them about this meditation on formless God, and you are God, and don't worry, don't be attached. Not knowing that their attachment to Sri Krishna had resulted in them getting the highest form of divine bliss. It's not a worldly attachment. After some time of this conversation between Uddhav and the gopis, Uddhav started to realize there's something else going on here, something beyond my understanding. The gopis said to him, Uddhav, you've come here to talk to us about formless God being everywhere. Don't you know Krishna is everywhere? You can't see him? Sri Krishna is here with us. You think he's only in Mathura? He's been here with us all along. It's a long conversation between Uddhav and the gopis. Eventually, Uddhav sees these gopis in highly ecstatic states, playing with Krishna, talking with Krishna, and it boggles his mind. He doesn't understand. He says, well, what? You know, I thought Krishna was in Mathura, and I thought, you know, I up until now only thought of formless God as being omnipresent. Anyway, he realized the littleness of his gyan compared to the divine understanding of the gopis, who were in fact far above him. So he surrendered to the gopis and Radharani, who happened to be there. And with their grace, he saw Sri Krishna everywhere. Oh, he saw Krishna playing, walking, talking all over Braj. He spent 6 months, once he got graced by the gopis, he was just wandering around Braj, enjoying the ras, totally absorbed. He had no idea of the time passing. When he finally got some self-consciousness, he asked a gopi, how long have I been here? Thinking it was maybe a few days. 6 months. What? His first thought was, Sri Krishna will be wondering what happened to me. So he went back to Mathura. And of course, Sri Krishna was waiting for him with a knowing smile. You know, like, ha, gotcha, kind of thing. Like, I was hoping this would happen to you. So Uddhav also smiled and said, Asamaho charan renu jushamahansyam Vrindavane kimapi gulmalatau shadhinam Yadustyajan svajan marya pathancha hitva Bhejur Mukunda Padavim Shruti Bhirvim Rigyam Bhagavatam. He's asking Sri Krishna, or he's expressing a desire, Asa Maho. I have a great hope, a great desire. For what? To get a place in Braj as a flowering plant or a creeper or something, so that when the gopis walk by, their foot dust will fly in the air and I'll get that on my head. Just like Brahma was asking for. And he goes on praising the gopis, saying that despite all of their family responsibilities, they always put Shri Krishna first. And the Vedas have always desired the foot dust of the gopis, but have never been able to receive it. But please, Krishna, let me be born as a some kind of plant in Braj so that I can receive that foot dust. So you see, the greatest jnani, one who had experienced the bliss of formless God, the greatest jnani of Dwapar Yuga, abandoned that Brahmanand when given the chance to experience Premanand. On the cusp of Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga, there was a great personality named Vedavyas. He was there during Shri Krishna's dissension at the end of Dwapar Yuga, but he also stayed into Kali Yuga. Vedavyas ji is another one who has experienced different types of divine bliss. You see, when Vedavyas ji had written all the other scriptures except the Bhagavatam, because when he comes, that's why he comes. One of the reasons is to reproduce in a written form all of the scriptures, because the books get lost sometimes, so he makes it available in full. So he rewrote, reproduced Ved, Upanishad, Upaved, Vedanga, all the Smritis, 17 Puranas, Mahabharata, Gita, Ramayana. And after having done all of that, produced all of that knowledge, the Bhagavat Mahatmya says, Vyase, Vyase Yajnana Sagare. Vedavyas is sitting and he feels restless, like he's lost in an ocean of confusion. Why? He feels like something is left out, something is missing. Vyase muhya tyagyana sagare. He can't figure it out for himself. As he's sitting there and thinking, what could be left? What could be left? I did all of this. Naradji comes. Now, Naradji is also known as a dissension of Bhagwan, as Vedavyasji is. Naradji himself wrote one Narad Smriti, where he describes only karma. That's it. No bhakti in there. He wrote another book called Narada Pancharatra. In there, there's a mixture of karma, jnana, and bhakti all together. But he wasn't satisfied with that. So in the end, he wrote Narada Bhakti Sutra, 84 sutras describing pure bhakti without any affiliation of any other practice. Then he was satisfied. So Naradji came to Vedavyas and he said, I know what the problem is. Naish karmyam apyat Chuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanamalam niranjanam. Bhagavat. Vedavyasji, you've produced this knowledge, but what's missing is the ras of Shri Krishna's leelas. You have to write a scripture that has the premanand imbued in it. The bliss of Maharas. You've described Shri Krishna's leelas, but you have to write such a scripture which actually encapsulates the ras of those leelas, not just a description of them. Because knowledge on its own is incomplete without this experience of Shri Krishna's love. So you see, Naradji he also, even though he had produced knowledge, gyan, in the form of his other scriptures, he wasn't satisfied until he produced a work about pure prem. He also told Vedavyas, you have to do the same. So Vedavyasji wrote the Bhagavat. Bhagavat Mahapuran, 18,000 shlokas, describing the main events of Sri Krishna's life, also some other main events in the history of our Brahman. And in that he imbued the ras of Sri Krishna's leelas, so that it's actually there. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. In the third shloka of the Bhagavat, Vedavyasji writes, this Bhagavat is a ras alay. It's like a container full of ras. So just drink it and keep on drinking it. Devotees, spiritual aspirants, saints, it's for everybody. Paramahansas. So he wrote this Bhagavat, and after writing the Bhagavat, or in the Bhagavat, near the end of it, he says, Mrishagirasta hyasati rasat katha nakatyate nakatyate yad bhagavan dhokchaja. He says, that writing, that scripture, which has knowledge, which is good, but which is bereft of the leelas of Sri Krishna, which contain that ras, that premanand, he says, it's asat. He's using strong language. It's untruth. It's of no use. He says an intelligent person doesn't make use of such scriptures. Here he's spent so many years producing all those other scriptures, and now that he's produced the Bhagavatam, he's saying, if it doesn't have the ras of Sri Krishna's leelas, it's useless. So it means Vedavyasji recognizes, Naradji recognizes, that there's something extra special about the bliss of the personal form of God. Now come further down the line. Vedavyasji also had a son named Shukdevji, Shukdev Paramahans. Shukdevji is very, very special. If you've ever seen a picture of him, his complexion is bluish, similar to Sri Krishna's. And he wasn't born in an ordinary way. Vedavyasji's wife, Pingla Devi, was pregnant with Shukdevji for 12 years. He didn't come out. He wouldn't come out. Vedavyasji said, what are you doing in there? He said, Father, I have heard that when a baby is born, because of Maya, they forget about God totally. In the womb, that soul has some clairvoyance and understands, oh, I got a human birth this time. This life is for finding God. I'm just going to do bhakti my whole life. And then when he's born, he forgets. So he says, Father, I'm not coming out. I don't want Maya to influence me when I come out. Vedavyasji said, okay, I'm giving you my word. Maya will not make you forget. Just come out. So then he just appeared out of his mother's body. Since he had been there for 12 years, he was 12 years old. That tall, like a 12-year-old boy. His mother hadn't felt any discomfort during her whole pregnancy, and now Shukdevji just appeared. And wearing nothing, he walked out of the hut and into the jungle. His father and mother looked at each other like, what? Where does he think he's going? Yam pravrajantam anupetam apetakrityam dvaipayano dvaipayano virahakatar ajuhav putreti tanmayataya taravobhine dustam sarvabhuta hridayam muni manatosmi. Shukdevji was absorbed in the bliss of formless God, Brahmanand, and he went walking out of the hut. And his father is coming from behind calling, "Oh, you can't go and directly take sannyas. You have to be brahmachari, then grihasthi, then vanaprasthi. At the proper time you take sannyas. You're just going. We haven't done any Vedic rituals." He just kept walking. His mind and senses were only perceiving himself everywhere as being one with formless God. So how could he respond? He kept walking. As he walked, he passed a pond where there were some celestial maidens, some apsaras who were taking a bath, and they also weren't wearing any clothes. Now when Shukdevji, who wasn't wearing any clothes, walked by, they didn't take any notice at all. They didn't make any effort to cover up, and he went walking on by. When Vedavyas passed, they quickly covered themselves. So Vedavyasji stopped. Although he was following Shukdevji, he stopped. He was puzzled by their behavior. Drishtva nuyantam rishimatma jamapyanagnam devyo hriyan paridadhur nasutasya chitram tadvikcha prichhati munau jagadustavastistri pumbhidanatu sutasya vivikta drishte. He said, "What are you doing? My 12-year-old son walked by wearing no clothes, and you made no effort to cover yourselves. I'm clothed, and I'm an old man, and you covered yourselves for me?" So they said, Vedavyasji, you don't mind if we say something, right? He said, "No, go ahead." So they said, "There is a difference in his eyes and your eyes. When he looked, he didn't see naked ladies. All he saw everywhere was himself. If he looked and there was a tree, he didn't see a tree, he saw himself. If there was a rock, he didn't see a rock, he saw himself. There was a lady, he didn't see a lady, he saw himself. So there was nothing in his eyes that indicated he even saw us as being different from any of the rest of the environment. But when you looked, you noticed. Tree, rock, huh? Ye kya ho raha hai?" Vedavyasji scolded them, telling them that it's apaman to Varun to bathe without having any clothes. So they said, "You see, you noticed. And we could see the difference in your eye and your look. That's why we covered up. But your son was so absorbed. He's Paramahans. You are a hans. Hans means you see everything, but you can differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad. The hans, if you mix water into milk, the hans can drink the milk and leave the water. So Vedavyasji, you are a hans. Your son is a paramahans. He's so absorbed in Brahmanand, he doesn't notice anything other than himself." So now Shukdevji kept going, absorbed in this state. Vedavyasji came back. Eventually the jungle got very thick. He couldn't go any further and he sat down in total Brahmaleen state. Brahmaleen means completely absorbed. No material thing could rouse him from his samadhi. Vedavyasji had some disciples who stayed in the ashram with him, and a couple of his younger disciples were out gathering firewood one day, and they came across Shukdevji sitting there in the forest. And they were very curious because he was so young, beautiful, glowing, and completely absorbed. So they were, you know, they came close, they looked, saw no movement of any kind. They tried shaking him. He still didn't respond. Yelled, "Hey, hey, Radhe, 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 Radhe." He still didn't respond. So they came back and told Vedavyasji. They were excited to tell him about what they had discovered in the jungle. Vedavyasji said, "Yes, that's my son, Shukdev. And in fact, I've written this Bhagavat, but I have no one who's at that level that they can actually retain the ras of the Bhagavatam. Sure, there's lots of people who can read the words, but who's qualified to actually get the ras that's in there? Only Shukdev. But he's lying in unconscious samadhi in the jungle." So Vedavyasji wanted to rouse him. He wrote down one shloka and gave it to his disciples and said, "Go and sing this where he can hear you." So they went and sang. Natvarvapuh karnayo karnikaram bibhradvasah kanak kapisham vaijayantin chamalam randhran venoradhar sudhaya purayan gopavrindair vrindaranyam swapadramanam pravishad geet kirti. When they sang this verse, Shukadevji actually opened his eyes and they were amazed because they had been yelling and shaking him and he didn't respond, and he opened his eyes hearing the sounds of a softly sung shloka from the Bhagavat. Yes, because the bliss of the Bhagavatam is the bliss of Sakar Brahm, the bliss of Premanand, which is higher than that Brahmanand in which Shukadevji was absorbed. So although no material sound could penetrate Shukadevji's samadhi, but the bliss of Sri Krishna could penetrate it easily. So that one shloka they sang, it was a description of Sri Krishna's body, decorations. He's walking with all the Gwalbals. The cows are going ahead of them. They're entering Vrindavan. It's a beautiful description of this scene, which entered Shukadevji's heart, and he had a desire to see Sri Krishna. But he thought, "Oh, he's so beautiful. Why would he ever look at me? Why would he ever come to me?" So he, after opening his eyes and looking at those boys, he again closed his eyes and went back into samadhi. So they came back and told Vedavyasji what had happened. So Vedavyasji wrote down another shloka, said, "Sing this one. Aho vakiyam stanakalkutam jighansaya payayadapyasadhvi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tatonyam kam va dayalum sharanam vrajema. In this, Sri Krishna's guna of kindness is described. His quality, one of the qualities of his personality, daya, kindness. There's an example given that Putana, a Rakshasi, had come to him to kill him with the full intention of killing him. She had smeared halahal poison, kalakut poison, on her breast and tried to nurse Sri Krishna. So any ordinary child who even touched a bit of that poison to his lips would die instantly. That was her plan. Sri Krishna nursed. The poison had no effect on him. And while nursing, also took out all the life from Putana and she died. But having killed her, he sent her to his divine abode. Why? When he was questioned, "What are you doing? You know every thought of every soul. You know she came with that bad intention. Why did you send her to your divine abode?" He said, "She came as my mother, and I drank her milk. So she is like my mother to me. So I had to send her to the divine abode. I had to give her the gati that I would give my own mother." In other words, he found some reason, some excuse to grace her, to send her to the divine abode. So this verse says, when Shri Krishna is that kind, that he would grace a Rakshasi like that, then what are you worried about? He can come to you and grace you as well. Such is his kindness. How could you find a more kind Lord than that? That's what this shloka said. So those boys went and they chanted that shloka, and this time Shukadev ji opened his eyes and he asked, "What is that?" Because now he had confidence in meeting Shri Krishna because he knew about his kindness. So they said, "Your father has written 18,000 such shlokas in the Bhagavat Puran." Shukadev ji said, "I want to hear it all, so take me to him." So he came and he listened to the whole entire Bhagavat, learned the whole thing, and then later he gave the first public telling of the Bhagavatam when he related the whole Bhagavat to King Parikshit. So that's why in Bhagavatam it says, "Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhakti Mithambhuta Guno Hari." That even a Nirgranth Paramahans, Nirgranth means completely beyond Maya, no worldly desires of any kind, absorbed in the bliss of formless God, such a Paramahans, simply by hearing Ittham Bhuta Guno Hari, just by hearing one guna of Shri Krishna, forgets about his Brahmanand and wants to become totally absorbed in remembering Shri Krishna, hearing his leelas, reading about it, telling others about it, which is how Shukadev ji passed all the rest of his time. So this is a very amazing example of someone who is at that level, who abandoned that bliss of Premanand, abandoned that bliss of Brahmanand when he got the chance to experience Premanand. Tomorrow I'll continue with some more examples from Kaliyug, including Shankaracharya, some of his followers, and some other jnanis. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki.